Yeah. Accession number 30653, Mrs. Joan King, Reel 1. Can you tell me when and where you were born?
Was born in King's College Hospital, which on my birth certificate it says Lambeth, Brixton, but of course I don't know what it's called now. I was born in the Todd Ward. I had a twin. In fact, when my mother went to have in there to have the baby, she had one baby, and then the doctor said to her, "Just hold on, there's another one." Unexpected. That was me. I was the unexpected one, the second one. And my mother's reaction to that was, "Oh my God, whatever will I do?" And the doctor said, "You'll be all right."
Now,
wait a minute, because she only had clothes for the one baby, and the sister was very kind. She went and got from somewhere a set of clothes for me to come out of the hospital in. And also, there was a girl, young girl in there, a young woman, who had had a few miscarriages. And she was in there with a recent miscarriage. And of course, in maternity wards, it all goes down, who's born. And she said to my mother, "Look, you didn't know you was going to have two babies. You've got four daughters at home, of which the eldest was 10, and could I have one of them?" Of course, mother said no. But that's what happened when I was born.
Now, when was that? What was your date of birth?
17th of the 11th, 1927.
Did your family live in Lambeth?
We lived in Peckham.
And could you tell us a bit about your family, you know, your mother and your dad, and what they
did
for a living?
Well, we lived in a terraced house, an average terraced house, bay-windowed. But we had one room. And there was four children, the eldest 10, and us two, in the one room. And in the rest of the house, which was common practice at that time, there were two other families. One lived in one room, the other room, perhaps one of... Well, there was us, there was a woman that had kids, and there was an elderly man and an elderly woman lived separate, all in this house. Because my mother's told me all about it. And she said when this old girl and this man were ill, they put them in the one bed in the one room so that they could look after them better and they would be warm, because everybody was very, very poor. She always said it was the happiest time in that house, because her and this other woman but had some kids, they were always laughing. They laughed about nothing. And that woman, unfortunately, had a baby, and she hemorrhaged. She had placenta brava. It was where the placenta comes away from the... Anyway, it stops the connection, and she started off with hemorrhage. And by the time they realised, because most women had their babies at home, mother went in to get the doctor, she'd lost so much blood, and they got her to hospital, and my mother lost a good friend. But before she went into hospital, they asked my mother if she could be fetched down and put in one of our beds, because she didn't feel that they had a pride, even though they were poor, that... shall we say that was a better place to be. And the doctor's name, although usually you had to pay sixpence up front before a doctor called, was Edith Summerskill, and she came and attended that woman for nothing. She didn't want any fee. She's a very good doctor, very good woman to the poor. I remember her.
Now, what did your mother or your father do for a living?
Well, my father was a builder. He was a master builder, actually. But he was a kind of a person that didn't... I remember him mainly as a master builder, but then he would have been doing... Well, building then. And on the strength of having us, my mother got a house at Beacontry.
That was where you moved.
We moved there.
When did you move there?
They finally decided that we had to go, you know, that was just starting up, all that new build for the poor, you know. Well, we went there, and I was only a matter of weeks old, perhaps a couple of months old.
So 1928 then?
Yeah, and her granny, my mother's granny, they used to call her granny with the bonnet. She wore one of them old-fashioned bonnets. She was very good to mama. She used to come and see her and that. And she helped her move, but they used a van to move. The van went off, and granny and mother and the kids went on the train. And poor granny, at one time, she had one baby and mother the other. She was old, ever so old. And she sat on the curb and said, I can't go any further. But of course she did. The only thing was, when they arrived at the house, they discovered that the baby's bottle had been left on the shelf. Two babies or not, we only had one bottle between us. So they got a lemonade bottle or something, found a bottle from somewhere, and cut a finger out of a glove or something, stuck it on the bottle, and... Talk about hygiene, one bottle between you, and fed us with that, till they went and got a bottle.
Now, what was life like in Beacontry? I mean, I know you're only growing up in Beacontry.
Well, because my mother told, I don't remember Beacontry, but of course my mother told us, you know, as we got older about it. Well, they was all right there, they had a nice little house, and my father was building. You know, his building work, he was getting builder and decorator. Before then he had a little cappy thing on the side of the road that where there would be a lot of people travelling in and out of London. And my sister's elder sister remembers going there and helping him to wash up. And one day he walked out and left it and never went back because he used to let everybody have stuff on tick, and half of them never came back, and he got over his head. Then he went back to, he went into building. They had a nice little life there. He had a nice garden. In fact, my mother said people used to knock at the door thinking he sold flowers. He put flowers in the front and vegetables in the back. But they didn't last too long there. Well, my other younger sisters were born there. My mother had us. Then she had two more twins 18 months afterwards. But she was in a bit of a better position there. He had a job and had a nice little house. They were still hard up, though.
So that's eight of you by then, is it?
There was... The eldest was 10 when she had my two younger sisters, which was 18 months after us. And at that time... The eldest girl was 10, and the twins were just born. She had four in between, then Ina and I, yeah, eight. So she had it a bit rough. Well, not rough, she was quite happy. She seemed to have everybody down there to stay who liked to go there. But of course... In the winter, he didn't get as much job as the summer. He used to be like that in the building trade. And Ina had whooping cough and fits. Ada had diphtheria. Dolly had something wrong with her. And it was cold. And she got hard up. Well, in those days, in those council places, you must pay your rent. We have to everywhere. But she had a choice whether to buy a coal, because the winter came and expenses came, or pay the rent. Of course, she bought the coal, didn't she? Well, when the rent man came, she never paid him. So the following week, she had a week's rent there, and she had a shilling to pay off the owing rent. But he would not take it. He said the rules were that he must take the whole of the rent due or none at all. So, of course, she couldn't make up the whole of the owing week, and he wouldn't take it. And I suppose she dived into it, being just managing. So we were all thrown out. A month she had to clear. And these were the rules then in council property. She had a month to clear that week's rent. And she just couldn't make it up. It was the winter had come upon us, and she had all these kids, and one was ill, and the other one was ill, and all that. So we were thrown out into the street a month after that. And we went into the workhouse with Mother.
Now, which workhouse?
Well, it would be in Beacon Tree. I don't know the name of it. Although I'd like to find it, because I do that genealogy, and I've always thought I'd find it, but I'm a bit lax at getting around to these things.
Now, what was the workhouse like? Because there's not many people about now who've been in a workhouse, lived
well,
in a workhouse.
Well, I can't remember the workhouse, but my sisters do. I must have been about two.
Oh, so you're still too young to remember then, you?
Yeah, but my sisters do. Dolly went into the workhouse hospital because she'd been ill. And she remembers Mother looking through the window at her, because she couldn't go in the ward, in her workhouse frock. Connie, she was the eldest, Dolly. Connie went into a children's home, and so did Peggy. The rest of us into the workhouse. Connie absolutely loved that children's home. It was set in a house, you know, that they'd taken over. And she absolutely loved it. Because every morning, you got something to eat, regular. And it was always bread and dripping and tea. And every week, you got a pile of clean clothes give you to be put. Everything was serene. Anyway, she liked it. We were in there not too long, because they didn't take on board the men. But we were rescued, the old man got a...
So what did your sister say about the workhouse?
Peggy said, she was in there, that she was little, but she had to work and all. Her job, she must have only been about five, she used to have to run round and round the yard, holding out the dusters and the cloths to dry them. That was her job, right? Of course, Mother didn't say much about her work, but the others were in the hospital, and Connie loved it in the children's home.
So how long in there, then?
Not long. Our old man soon got us out, and he went to collect Connie, and he'd forgotten to take the shoes, any shoes for her, so they let her keep the boots. And we moved to Peckham then. We lived in an old...
What, back to Peckham?
Well, yeah, back to Peckham. Because we'd come from Peckham, hadn't we? And we lived in an old Dickensian pub, and the area was just as it was in Dickens' time. Cobbles everywhere, and then postings in the middle of the street.
And we which pub was it?
Well, it's gone now. It was in... called Lower Park Road then. It's called Friary Road now. There's a, there was a, just past Birding Bush Road as you walk down, as though you were going to cut through to Peckham Park Road. On the left, just, there's Birding Bush Road just on the left. The church is still there, Catholic Church. Then there was the monastery, which they've now made into flats. And the church was... Well, there was a few houses over the road, then there was the pl- playground that the Catholic Church used, all the kids had to go to. Then there was this pub right on the side of the playground. And in there we had two rooms. I remember that pub well.
As you
went in the door, there was like partitions, like glass up the top and wood. They were always locked up. But we went down there, and to the right was a huge staircase, big banister, and to the left was a little room that had once been the parlour. We had that, and then when you went upstairs, there was, we had the first room, and there was another few families above that, right? I fell down those stairs when I was about three, and big thick banisters, and big thick, what, you know them, the rest of it. I fell down them and bashed me head, and the next minute I was being held over the seat backwards with the tap running on my head, because they saw to everything. There's no doctors, they didn't run to doctors. But the oddest thing was I broke the banister with my head, right? And I've still got the bump there, the fruit there. I never noticed that all those years, but when you get older, you shrink, you know. And one of my nieces said to me the other day, have you hurt your head? I said, no, that's always been there. It wasn't so prominent, but I broke the banisters. Yeah. Well, we lived there. We went to the Catholic school.
Now, what do you remember about your education at the school?
Oh, education. I remember every minute of it. I was very, very, I mean, mind you, in the schools then, I think the infant, the junior schools of today are taught 10 times more. They've got more, you know, they're taught more, they've got more lessons.
Keep it to what it was then, because the...
We went in the baby class, called it the baby class, call it the nursery now. And I can remember starting in the baby class, and they had a big rocking horse in there. But what they did have was set in the wall was all these little boxes. You pulled a thing down or opened a door, not high up, and you put your lunch in there. And I remember that because it didn't take me long to find out that one of those had taken it, and of course I went for the one with the cake, and I was quietly told that no, you couldn't have the one with the cake because you'd fetched a bit of bread and jam in your locker, and that was somebody else. Yeah, and I never touched it no more. That was my first lesson on not touching other people's. It was a baby class. Of an afternoon, you laid down on little beds, like they were canvas with two poles, and it just kept you off the floor. But if any of the poor kids wet themselves, which wasn't impossible, kids of three, you had a duster put over your head, and you had to lay there with a duster over your head. That was that. And of course, the school, it was a Catholic school. I absolutely loved school.
Why? What was so good about it?
I just did, mind you. I was the top of the class all the way through. I was the captain of the games, leader of the red team. I was very privileged, but I didn't see it at the time because I just loved school. I loved everything about it. And so I was in a bit of a privileged position, if you know what I mean. I didn't realise it. But I loved it. I loved the learning. And even to the ringing of the bell that told everybody that it was time to go to play and all that. It was a bit of a privilege to ring that bell. You had to sit where you could sit from where you sat in the car. I even had that. So I was I had a lovely time at school, simply because I loved school. And
so you did well at school as well, you were top, you said.
I did well. I went in for the preliminary examination prior to the scholarship. Of course, I passed it and went in for the scholarship. But just before the results, we were all evacuated, so that was the end of me. But my mum did say to me, because my second to eldest sister got to the top of the school when she was 13, and she was 2 years in the top class because she couldn't leave. You had to be at school till you was 14. So they did want my mum to send her to the Notre Dame. That was, like you'd say, it's a grammar school now. It had mostly boarders and very few. I mean, the scholarship, only about two kids went in it a year. Not all the class like they do now. You were picked out to go with it. Well, she was picked out. They wanted her to go to the Notre Dame, but my mum said she just couldn't afford it. She couldn't afford the uniform. But as I think now, when I'm older, I'm sure Sister Agnes would have supplied her with a uniform. There were boarders there, and some of the kids would have had the clothes. But those nuns were so good to us. I think that's why I love school so much.
Now, what about life outside school, before the war? I mean, what would you play in the streets? Oh, what was life like?
You lived in the street. Street and school. So, really, we had a lovely life.
So, what would you play in the street, the school?
Well, we'd play hopscotch, marbles, what else? Skipping, racing round, and we'd also make a cart with a wooden box and a bit of wood with two wheels on it at the front, and this wood going down, and these, usually from an old pram, these wheels were. And that's what you'd do. And you have a bit of string tied, and you could guide the front wheels. Of course, it all fell apart after you'd been half a yard in it, but because they used to bang the nails on from the bottom, of course, they didn't hold for very long. Mind you, I think I never remember once having a ride, because I was, most kids, especially being girls, we were privileged to be able to touch it, to push them. I forgot that was there. We were privileged to even push them in it, let alone sit on the seat and have a ride. Oh, and I'll tell you what else we used to do. We used to collect news. You went in spasms. All the kids went in for one thing and then they go on to something else. But we used to collect, we'd have spasms of knocking on doors, collecting newspapers or jam jars, and then we'd take them back. There was a place in the Old Kent Road, and he was very fair then. He had a big yard, he dealt in rags and bones, and he used to give us, but that never seemed to last long. Another thing was, there was a pram factory, I don't know if it's still there. We lived in Haymill Road by then. And
Still in Peckham.
And we used to stand at the bottom, and I don't know what they used to have delivered in these crates that were just bars of wood, you know, strips of wood. But they used to throw one down the stairs, and we'd take that home for wood for the fire. But, you know, those kids were very orderly. We all took our turn. And you learnt a great deal on those streets, because you all learn not to touch other people's things and to take your turn, and also not to tell lies either. Because if you said your chalk wasn't on the line in hopscotch, which meant you were out, and it'd be an inquest to see whether it was on the line, and there'd be a big to-do about it. You're a liar. No, Timmy. But you did learn to, you know, not touch other people's kids' things, to take it that if you were out, you were out. You learnt a lot on those streets. And then there was a wood yard that we used to get wood from. That all went towards the fire, which we never sat round anyway, because the time we came off the streets, we were in bed. But we had a, you know, and none of us had much, you know, you'd never had shoes or anything like that. You had plimsolls, and of course I'm talking about the Depression time now, and that was the early 30s. We weren't the only ones. You didn't have, I was about quite an age before I had a pair of shoes. You'd have plimsolls, and you'd wear them till there was nothing left of them. The tops used to go first, and then the bottom, and then when the flap that waved about at the bottom came off, of course your foot would be on the pavement. So that was the end of that. I missed how I ever managed to get school prizes. I was never at school on a prize day to pick up a prize. I always got one, but I never picked. I used to be looking out the window, waiting for my twin sister to come along with it, because it just happened that I never had anything to wear for my feet. So I was always having, I don't know if I was a bit heavier on my feet. I was always tearing about. But so
your dad wasn't in regular work then, because he was a master builder.
He was a very well educated man, well spoken man. He was out of his depth. Everyone pulled a fast one on him, and they wiped the floor with him, and he didn't see. But anyway, he was off and out of work. When he was in work, he'd fetch home a bag of fruit and that. But a lot of the time, he was out of work. Seeing him being self-employed, he didn't get any. If they did have dole in those days, he wasn't entitled to it. But there used to be a place called the RO, the Relieving Office.
What's that?
Well, I used to go there with my mum. And they'd go there, so you had to have nothing to eat. They'd go there and say, well, my mother used to go there. And I often went with her. It was like a counter, like you'd be in a shop counter. And she'd say she had nothing to give her kids to eat and all that lot. And they would give you bread and treacle, not money. And if you had to take a kid to the hospital or a ride or anything, they used to give them little tickets if they had to go a essential bus ride. So they had, not bus tickets, it was about the size of bus ticket and thicker. Because I remember sitting on a bus with her when we was in Lower Park Road, and sitting there and seeing a man fall off a ladder. He was obviously a window cleaner or something. But anyway, they got these tickets. And when my mother, she had a boy after 7 years. She had a boy. Well, you can imagine the fuss that made. Seven girls and then a boy arriving. Even our teacher in school, I suppose, I'd be eight. She sent home six bibs, three with blue round them, three with what's it. Anyway, everyone was so kind to each other in those days. No one had anything, but you showed a lot of kindness by people.